Every day with the Lord is a wonderful day, but certain days have been singled out. Mother's Day certainly is a day that should be singled out. Remember, every woman is a mother in one way or another. It's absolutely a fact. You can discover that if you just watch little girls. Little girls begin to mother things early on. They mother dollies, they mother siblings. They'll try to mother their mother and their father. They'll try to be a mother. It's just one of those amazing things that God has put in people. That doesn't mean everybody's a perfect mother, because none of us are really perfect at anything we do. We're only perfect in Christ. But it is a simple fact that mothers, according to the Bible, according to what Jesus said, we're to honor our mothers, and so we should do that. There's a lot of people missing a lot of things that God has for them because they refuse to honor the mother. There are people who accuse their mothers, and mothers can be long dead, and they're still accusing their mothers because mom did this or mom did that. So, and it's really interesting when you think about that. Mothers are long-suffering. Mothers are sometimes forgiving to a fault, and mothers are also the ones that are most often condemned and blamed. So mothers, don't take the blame. Children, honor your mothers, because it is the commandment with promise. But you don't understand what my mother did. I really don't care what your mother did. Not that I don't care. I do care. I just don't care. You understand what I mean? It's not that I don't care about you, but it's that I don't care what they did. I care about what you get and where you are in your walk with the Lord. And so, it just as a little clue is that you're missing something if you're not able to overcome that, because you have shut a door on plans that the Lord has for you because you refuse to let go of that. So it's an odd thing to do to mothers on Mother's Day and to do to children on Mother's Day, but sometimes mothers need to forgive their mothers so you can have freedom today. We all need to honor our mothers. That doesn't mean that we're stupid for our mothers, but it does mean that we need to honor them and to love them. And if they aren't here for us to love, we can still love them in the Lord and leave that love with them, and the Lord can get it to them. But it's so important that it was made very clear that there was a promise involved in honoring our mothers and our fathers, and fathers have a little mother in them as well. Our Father God has the ability to mother. He didn't overlook our sins, He wiped them out. But if we are faithful to confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the thing is we don't have any business holding on into anything. And if we know the truth, we know that, well, I don't want to hold on to anything. We're smart enough to, you know, I've worked at many baked potato suppers. It doesn't take me long to figure out how quickly I want to pick up that potato, drop it, unwrap it, and get it ready to have it made potato when you're working that part of the line, you know. I mean, you don't stand there and go, that's hot. You figure out till they go of it in a hurry. You pluck it out, drop it in, carefully pull out the tin foil, get it ready for them to put the topping on it. And so the thing is that the Word of God often shows us things that are hot potatoes that we've been holding on to, and they've been searing our lives. They've been scarring us, and so we can have the scars healed. Anyway, in John chapter 8 and verse 11, okay, the woman says to Jesus, after Jesus said to her that no one condemn you, and the woman said, no, Lord, and He said, neither do I, go and sin no more. Sin no more does sound like a peculiar topic to have on Mother's Day, but to sin no more is a very beneficial thing. Every mother desires that their children don't sin. My mother often said, I knew you were going to hell, but I didn't want you to. After she acknowledged, when I made her acknowledge it, She recognized. She didn't want me to do those things. On occasions, she would reprimand my brother and I for things that we were doing, and we would honor her by saying, well, we don't have to come home. Oh, God forgives me for that one too. You see, God's so good, He wipes out all those things. He takes them away. In my opportunity to minister to people in jail, I hear some of them, well, all of them will acknowledge, yep, I know that this isn't what my mom wanted for me. But some of them will, after saying that, proceed to tell me why it's their mother's fault. Now, you can imagine how far that goes with me. I will risk a fight in that little room to tell them, you're wrong. You better get your poop in a group. Or you're going to rot here or rot somewhere else because you've got your thinking all messed up. It's nobody's fault but your own. It's your own choices. That's all there is to it. And as Sue said, you know, there's a new beginning. And we often let the past rob us of our future. And we sit wallowing and trying to fix things that can't be fixed. If we just give them to God, we might get them fixed. And so when we talk about getting things squared up when it comes to our mothers, you know, that isn't get them fixed, that's get you fixed. We fix us through Christ and allow Him to fix them, with the understanding that it really doesn't matter if He fixes them or not. As for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. As for me, I refuse to miss what God has for me. We all know about unforgiveness, and we know how it works, that if we don't forgive someone, most of the time it just bothers us because they don't even know what we're not forgiving them for. I read something recently, a guy warned against spiritual dumping. You know, sometimes something's been torquing someone off, and instead of dealing with it with God, they decide to deal with it with a person that's been making them mad that didn't know anything about it. I've had people as a pastor that came and told me how mad they were at me and how miserably I failed them. I didn't know I failed them. Made me feel bad for them, but wasn't like it was something intentionally. And you know me, get over it. If you don't get over it, go someplace else. Really isn't going to make that much difference to me. Just serve Jesus, will you? Just love the Lord. If you can love the Lord better somewhere else, please do. Please do in some cases. I'm sorry. You got to be honest about these things, you know. You got to be honest. Because the fact of the matter is that the most important thing is loving Jesus. The most important thing is making sure that we are somewhere doing that very thing, loving Jesus. Can't get enough of your love, Lord. So anyway, Jesus said to this woman, He didn't condemn her either. But then He said, sin no more. Now the Lord had led me back to this chapter and let me read it numerous times. And I found many, many things. And I thought certainly, I knew I didn't find everything, but I thought that I had found, you know, a lot. And then all of a sudden He says, read that again. And so I'm reading it again and I come to sin no more. And He stops me there and I go, that's a good idea. Sin no more. Oh. Folks, none of us want to sin. Do. And another thing Sue mentioned, with years with the Lord, you grow to understand some things. And you grow to understand when the Lord tells you about something and He has a purpose in it. You see, sin no more seems like sort of an abstract concept that those outside of the kingdom of God say, yeah, well, you know, I mean, anybody that's been a reasonably good sinner has made statements like, I wouldn't want to go to heaven or my friends will be there. Statements like, well, I'm going to hell anyway. just resigned to that, so I'm going to have my phone. I mean, proficient sinners have done those sort of things. Okay? I was proficient. You all know that? I've said that before, so that's fine. Okay? But the fact of the matter is that when faced with eternity, a lot of those great sinners think that perhaps heaven would be a better thing. But even as Christians, we look at sin no more, and we sort of say, well, you know, that's kind of impossible. And, I mean, let's face it, everybody has their moments. And you know, just because the Bible says bringing every thought into captivity and guarding your mouth, just because it says all that thing, I mean, it's like God doesn't really expect that, really, does he? No, he doesn't. I mean, we answer that one for ourselves. But we're doing our best, and I always say I'm sorry. The truth of the matter is that the more that we overlook something, the less likely we are to really repent of it. We're more likely to just acknowledge, oops, I blew it, but really feel no repentance over it. I mean, like, it's just one of those things. Like, it's the way I am. Our old friend Marie used to say, well, that's the Irish in me. And I'd say, well, get the Irish out. I thought you were Christian. Well, that's just the way I am. You know, you're a new creature in Christ. But you see, we want to, you know, just kind of smooth that over because it makes us feel better. But the Lord says, just sin no more. You can do this. Well, then we have to face that thing of, do I want to do this or do I really not want to do this? If you've never done this, then God bless you. But we all have things that the Word of God sort of mentions to us that we sort of make a mental note of and are careful not to write down, you know, so that it can kind of go on by. And then there's that other thing. I mean, I've written and underlined many, many Bibles. I've worn out several Bibles. And I don't say that, say, oh, look at how I'm reading the Bible. But I've written, some of them I've marked up so much and written so much in that there isn't any place to write new things, and then I move on to a new one, and I try not to do it in it. But then when I have a new Bible, I got this thing, and I'm going with it, and I think, I know I've read this, but I haven't written in the Bible. Now, if somebody looks at this Bible, they'll think I don't read my Bible. I better make sure. What do you mean? That pastor's got passages that he hasn't marked. Well, we talk about how we're going to do it. Anyway, but we all have things, and sometimes I will be reading and I will look at notes in Bibles that I've written and I'll go, man, I wrote that, but I don't think I did. And the idea of sinning no more is not really something that we jump up and down about. You know? Yeah! That's my goal! Now, we might say, I don't want to sin anymore, but what if God says that a wrong attitude is a sin? Well, now just wait a minute. God knows why I have this attitude about this. It is quite often best if I say nothing and fight the good fight in my head. I am not going to sin. Because if I fight the battle out loud, then I either am a sinner, accused of sinning because I'm fighting the battle out loud. And I'm telling you that the idea of sinning no more is absolutely possible, because if it wasn't possible, the devil would not fight you so hard on it. Nor would God encourage you so much, let's do this thing. Jesus said to the woman, sin no more. Now, people often go back to the very first woman and her sin. And legalists or chauvinists will like to say, yeah, it's her fault. And that's exactly what Adam said. But you wonder about, was the motherhood that was in Eve part of what made her deceivable, because the motherhood in her wanted to please? Mothers want to please. They really do. Mothers can be forgiving to a fault. And then accused and abused for it. Well, good news, mothers don't have to receive it. There is no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. And those who do those things better repent of it. Because that's not honoring. As I considered this woman's plight, you know, there's something, we don't have any idea what put her in that position. I mean, in this day and age, men sell their wives and their children into prostitution. So, did her husband force her into it? Was he manipulated by the Pharisees to say, get your wife to do this so we can catch her because we want to catch Jesus and boy, you'll be honored because of this? And he manipulated his wife into saying, you got to do this because the Pharisee boys are going to put me out if I don't get you to do something. Or was she a widow and needed to support her children? You know, had she fallen on a tremendous amount? You know, who knows? We don't know these things. We don't know what all went into that situation. But we do know that Jesus had a remedy. Well, there's another little thing that came up to me. Why would they have been happy to stone her and disgruntled about having to forgive her? Sometimes that's us, you know. Sometimes we would be more willing to stone a situation than we would to forgive a situation.
Nineveh.
Yeah.
Sat under his cactus plant, mattered an old wedding.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Joan was just upset. He said, yeah, I knew you'd forgive him if I went. That's why I didn't want to go. Yeah, it might have had something to do with the fact that he was afraid they'd stone him, too. And it might have been that, you know, going and telling them to repent might have made him feel like, well, I better repent, too. But whatever the case might be, after none of them condemned her, and it wasn't so much that they didn't want to condemn her, it was that they really, looking at themselves, knew that they couldn't justify themselves, so they might as well take their rocks and go home. Isn't it interesting that when they didn't do it, it was the oldest that went first down to the youngest. The oldest knew a lot more than they were revealing. And so they were more quick to say, whoa, I've done a lot of sin. And the youngest, now they might think that they're pretty righteous after all. Isn't that the way that Saul was? Saul was killing Christians because he was so righteous. Absolutely righteous. So righteous that he nodded his approval when they piled the coats at his feet while Stephen was stoned. But whatever, they walked away and Jesus said, look, I don't condemn you, but don't sin anymore. Now some could try to say, well, what he meant was don't do this sin anymore, but that isn't what it says. Just don't sin anymore. Jesus said the same thing to the paralytic. Same thing to the man who was healed. He found him in the temple and he said, hey, don't sin anymore. What sin could have he committed for a long, long time? He just lay there. He was just laying around by the pool. But Jesus said, don't you sin anymore. Lest something worse come upon you. Okay, so what were his sins, you know? Were his sins accusing everybody that got well? Were his sins, you know, in his mind complaining because nobody was giving him enough? Was his current sin the one of going in and saying, hey, for a buck, I'll tell you about what Jesus did for me? I don't know. But I know that Jesus is big about forgiving sin and about us stopping sin. And us stopping sin has to do with the fact that when we sin, we stop his blessing and it is from him that all blessings flow. And it is His desire to have people that He can pour out His Spirit upon, pour out His blessing upon, so that when people see that light and they see these benefits that there are in living for God, the people see that there is a benefit in living for God. And then they too will desire God. God is not jumping up and down and excited over everybody that can tell everybody their sins. Ah, there's a sinner, there's a sinner, there's a sinner, there's a sinner. It's easy to see sinners. But when God returns, will He find faith in the earth? Will He find people living in faith? Will He find people trusting in Him? Will He find people that will say, you know what? I've not yet accomplished this, but He said sin no more. God, help me not to sin. Now, some people could say, well, yeah, but that woman, she did adultery. You know, that's a big sin. There isn't such a thing with Jesus. Sin is sin. Wrong attitude. Wrong words. Doubting Him. That's the sin that kept Israel out of the promised land. Making declarations that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. This is what God says He asked you. This is what you say it is. Well, God knows how it is, so it's okay if I say it. Why don't you say how He wants it? If we don't get over saying how it is, we'll never get into how He wants it. Because we will say how He wants it in passing, and we'll say how it is with conviction. Yes, I would like it that way, but this is the way it is. Which one has the most conviction? This is how it is. This is where I live. This is the way it is. That's what I said in the devotion. This sounds like a strange devotion for Mother's Day, but it is what it is. Honor your mothers, don't sin. Write your own message. You could have, but I have to preach. My heart drives me. I'm compelled. Because the more I share, the more I learn, and the more determined I am to win this battle. And it is. Absolutely. There is a battle. You know that. Whenever you decide to do what God wants, put on your armor. Jesse Duplantis says, never fight an enemy that's already defeated. He's defeated. The enemy is defeated. If I don't yield Him authority and yield my power to Him, He's defeated. See ourselves as He sees us. Receive it. One of my prisoners, his dad's been calling me, and he's been all, oh man, he's really doing bad. Like, I'm supposed to do something about it. I did everything I could do about it. And I'm still doing stuff about it. But see, the problem is this kid's calling me from jail, blaming him for his problems. I said, ain't your fault. Oh, but now he's saying crazy stuff. Well, hey, I'll tell you something about him. They'll say crazy stuff to try to get out, to try to get an easy way, to try to convince people that they're crazy. They'll do all kinds of stuff. But you show me somebody that says, God's going to get me through this no matter what, I'll show you somebody that's got victory and got a good shot. Now that's in a physical prison. But we sit in spiritual prisons, and you show me somebody that says, by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, I am more than a conqueror, I'll show you somebody that has a shot. But show me somebody that says, well, I love Jesus, but I just don't know. I'll show you somebody that's going to stay right there. I just don't know. And nothing's going to change, and they're going to confess. Nothing changes. And I'm not making fun of anybody. I'm not condemning anybody in that. I'm just saying, you've got to know these things, because these things you can pass on to others. Did you know everybody in the world is not here today? Not even everybody in this church is here today. Not everybody that will listen to this on the internet is here today. But everybody will have the opportunity to say, you know something? If we will confess with our mouths the Lord Jesus and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from death, and all the things that God has said are possible, then it will change things. And that's the important thing, folks. That's the important thing, that people's lives change. That the worlds around us change. That people come to know the thing that we are blessed to know, and that is that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that He is able to do. And that He wants to do. You see, some people will say, yes, I know God is able to do it, but a multitude of people have no idea that God really wants to do things. That's one of the things that's taken place in Kenya and in Malawi, where people that we've ministered to, and in Philippines, pastors there, that have gone out and told their people God wants to do these things, and they've been seeing miracles because people go, mean God really wants to? People sit in churches, they don't know that God wants to do anything. They sit in churches and somebody says, do not sin, and they don't know that God really doesn't want them to sin. Because they don't think it's possible not to. If it were not possible, Jesus would not have said it. Isn't that right? We can gain authority over, right down to our attitudes. We really can control our tongues. Through Christ, not by ourselves, of course not. We're prone to just but it is possible to sin no more. Saturday we went to Aberdeen. I got to see an old friend of mine, and we did lots and lots and lots of things together. I was blessed to have him tell me, he says, I read everything you send to me. I often wondered if I had. And when I left, he said, you know, we could tell some stories, couldn't we? I said, oh man, there isn't enough days for us to tell all those stories. This is an absolute fact. Yeah. One of my children yesterday, they were asking us when we were going to this place. They were saying, Dad, does Dad know the way? And I had to laugh. I said, man, I was drunk in that place more times than probably the ages of all my children had together. With that guy, lots and lots of times. I said, yeah, I can find that. And I mentioned that to him. He said, yeah, man, this is really a total turnaround, isn't it? I said, oh yeah. And it just keeps getting better. God just keeps getting better. See, people don't realize God just keeps getting better. He just keeps getting better, and He keeps taking you further from where you were and closer to where He is if we will just let Him. I'm so grateful to God. I'm grateful for my mother. I'm grateful for all mothers. The fact that Jesus does not condemn us and He calls us to forgiveness and rewards us with abundant life. Isn't that just like a mother? Isn't that just how that goes? You know, you don't understand unless you're in the skin of a woman how that works. It's just sort of a natural thing to try to mother something or someone. I watch Kathy at the healthcare center. She mothers all those folks. Mm-hmm. They're a lot easier to mother than kids, aren't they? But you still got that need to do that, you know? Like I said before, Lon, she mothers Bob. And Bob loves it. Don't go right, he blames it on Bob. Okay, I should quit that. But you know, it's true. We just don't think about some of these things sometimes. I mean, There's things about motherhood Vicki can get sad and down about when it comes to the children I don't even think about. Sometimes I'm not even real compassionate about it. You know, it's like, oh, come on. You know, I mean, it's like, I'm certain there are things that go through Paula's mind, and if she voices them, Bernie goes, huh? Kids know that it's beneficial to make mom glad. Sometimes they don't really care about making her glad unless it's really beneficial. But they should know that all the time it's a gateway to promise. Michael can ignore me all day long, but not mom. Yeah? Oh, yeah. Oh, I know. I watch it. Yeah. I can say, what can I do for you? Maybe he'll stand right next to mom. Because mom's the answer. So I pray an extra blessing on you, ladies, mothers. I thank God for your ability to mother. I thank God for those gifts that He has put in you, that some of those gifts that would benefit us men a whole lot, we can just grasp them, but that's not how we're made. But we can at least observe them and appreciate them. But if you want to enter into a joyous place in the Lord and bring the Lord joy, don't say anything. Allow the Holy Spirit such access that you're so sensitive that the thought of the wrong word just goes, no! The thought of the wrong thought, no! Thought of the wrong action. Now I can do this thing. Fight that good fight of faith. And watch what happens. Watch what God can do. Watch how God will bless you and bless people through you. Because you come to a new place of confidence and joy and hope in the Lord. So you are certain not only that God can do all things, but He wants to. And that will honor God. And that is the ultimate focus of our life. Amen. Lord, we honor you. We honor you for the creation of women. For the love and the compassion that you put into them. For the understanding that you put into them. For the patience that you put into them. For the example of godliness that you put into them. And I pray, Lord, for each and every one all over the world, that that would just have a renewed empowerment in them, that they would be especially blessed this day. Father, the people all over the world would just have a desire to honor the mothers or the memories of their mothers. The people all over the world would have an awareness of the blessing of being free from sin and being determined not to. And allow you to determine what it is, not what anybody else says, but what you say. Oh God, with this will come a strengthening of our communities, a strengthening of our nation, a strengthening of the world when the Lord is magnified. We thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.